the chain of associations, pelagi, plagiarism, plagiostomy, sharks, fish bladder, connects the old novel with the affair of Knödel and with the overcoats, German, Überzieher, thing drawn over, overcoat or condom, which obviously refer to an object belonging to the technique of sexual life. This, it is true, is a very forced and irrational connection, but it is nevertheless one which I could not establish in waking life if it had not been already established by the activity of the dream. Indeed, as though nothing were sacred for this impulse to force connections, the beloved name Brücke, bridge of words, see above, now serves to remind me of the institution in which I spent my happiest hours as a student, quite without any cares. So you will ever find more pleasure at the breasts of knowledge without measure, in the most complete contrast to the urgent desires which vex me while I dream. And finally there comes to the surface the recollection of another dear teacher, whose name again sounds like something to eat, Fleischl, German, Fleisch equals meat, like Knödel, and of a pathetic scene in which the scales of epidermis play a part, mother, hostess, and insanity, the novel, and a remedy from the Latin kitchen which numbs the sensation of hunger, to wit, cocaine. In this manner I could follow the intricate trains of thought still further, and could fully explain the part of the dream which is missing in the analysis. But I must refrain, because the personal sacrifices which it would require are too great. I shall merely take up one of the threads which will serve to lead us directly to the dream thoughts that lie at the bottom of the confusion. The stranger, with the long face and pointed beard, who wants to prevent me from putting on the overcoat, has the features of a tradesman at Spalato, of whom my wife made ample purchases of Turkish cloths. His name was Popovich, a suspicious name which, by the way, has given the humorist Stettenheim a chance to make a significant remark. He told me his name and blushingly shook my hand. Popo, backside in German nursery language. Moreover, there is the same abuse of names as above with Pelagie, Knödel, Brücke, Fleischl. That such playing with names is childish nonsense can be asserted without fear of contradiction. If I indulge in it, this indulgence amounts to an act of retribution, for my own name has numberless times fallen a victim to such weak-minded attempts at humour. Goethe once remarked how sensitive a man is about his name, with which, as with his skin, he feels that he has grown up, whereupon Herder composed the following on his name. Thou art born of gods, of Goths, or of court, mud, thy godlike images too are dust. I perceive that this digression about the abuse of names was only intended to prepare for this complaint. But let us stop here. The purchase at Spalato reminds me of another one at Cattaro, where I was too cautious and missed an opportunity for making some desirable acquisitions, missing an opportunity at the breast of the nurse, see above. Another dream thought occasioned in the dreamer by the sensation of hunger is as follows. One should let nothing which one can have escape, even if a little wrong is done. No opportunity should be missed. Life is so short, death inevitable. Owing to the fact that this also has a sexual significance, and that desire is unwilling to stop at a wrong, this philosophy of carpe diem must fear the censor and must hide behind a dream. This now makes articulate counter-thoughts of all kinds, recollections of a time when spiritual food alone was sufficient for the dreamer. It suggests repressions of every kind, and even threats of disgusting sexual punishments. 2. A second dream requires a longer preliminary statement. I have taken a car to the West station in order to begin a vacation journey to the Aussee, and I reach the station in time for the train to Ischl, which leaves earlier. Here I see Count Thun, who is again going to see the Emperor at Ischl. In spite of the rain, he has come in an open carriage, has passed out at once through the door for local trains, and has motioned back the gatekeeper, who does not know him and who wants to take his ticket, with a little wave of his hand. After the train to Ischl has left, I am told to leave the platform and go back into the hot waiting room. But with difficulty I secure permission to remain. I pass the time in watching the people who make use of bribes to secure a compartment. I make up my mind to insist on my rights, that is, to demand the same privilege. Meanwhile, I sing something to myself, which I afterwards recognize to be the aria from Figaro's Wedding. If my Lord Count wishes to try a dance, let him but say so, I'll play him a tune. Possibly another person would not have recognized the song. During the whole afternoon I have been in an insolent, combative mood. I have spoken roughly to the waiter and the cabman, I hope without hurting their feelings. Now all kinds of bold and revolutionary thoughts come into my head, of a kind suited to the words of Figaro and the comedy of Beaumarchais, which I had seen at the Comédie Française. The speech about great men who had taken the trouble to be born, the aristocratic prerogative, which Count Almaviva wants to apply in the case of Susan, the jokes which our malicious journalists of the opposition make upon the name of Count Thun, German, Thun, doing, by calling him Count Do-Nothing. I really do not envy him. He has now a difficult mission with the Emperor, and I am the real Count Do-Nothing, for I am taking a vacation. With this, all kinds of cheerful plans for the vacation. A gentleman now arrives who is known to me as a representative of the government at the medical examinations, and who has won the flattering nickname of Governmental Bedfellow by his activities in this capacity. By insisting on his official station, he secures half of a first-class compartment, and I hear one guard say to the other, "Where are we going to put the gentleman with the first-class half-compartment?" A pretty favouritism. I am paying for a whole first-class compartment. Now I get a whole compartment for myself, but not in a through coach, so that there is no toilet at my disposal during the night. My complaints to the guard are without result. I get even by proposing that at least there be a hole made in the floor of this compartment for the possible needs of the travellers. I really awake at 3:15 in the morning with a desire to urinate, having had the following dream. Crowd of people, meeting of students. A certain Count Thun or Tafe is making a speech. Upon being asked to say something about the Germans, he declares with contemptuous mien that their favourite flower is coltsfoot, and then puts something like a torn leaf, really the crumpled skeleton of a leaf, into his buttonhole. I make a start, then, but I am surprised at this idea of mine. Then more indistinctly, it seems as though it were the vestibule, aula. The exits are jammed, as though it were necessary to flee. I make my way through a suite of handsomely furnished rooms, apparently governmental chambers, with furniture of a colour which is between brown and violet, and at last I come to a passage where a housekeeper, an elderly, fat